Sing like people who are happy. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah is an answer.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah is an answer. He answers all my needs when I pray in Jesus, oh, in his name and my faith. Oh, the answer came.
Thank you for your blessings in our lives,
hallelujah.
Lord.
Amen.
And the things that you are doing for us,
hallelujah,
even at this very moment, Lord. Father,
amen,
we bring these tithes and offerings before you now, asking that you might bless them, Lord. May you provide for the needs of your people. Father, for you are faithful and you promised us, Father, that, Lord, you would open the windows of heaven, Lord, and pour out thy blessings. Lord, you promised that you would rebuke the devourer for our sake, Lord. And Father, we can see that this is true and we believe it and we thank you for it, Lord. Bless us now this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Brother Brian will just give us a testimony. Amen. I won't say what about. It's a wonderful testimony. Can we say? To God be the glory.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. I'm not used to being this side of the pulpit, as you know. I'd sooner be sitting there or there. But the testimony I would like to make this morning is you probably know that next door to me are some horses, and one was very, very sick indeed. Now, we had a word with the farmer. He was going to have this horse put down, put to sleep, because it had a broken foreleg or something, I think you call it, a forelock or something. So anyway, Sister Deirdre, my dear wife here, said to the farmer, look, please, don't have this horse put down. Let me lay hands on it. I'm choking up now for the sake of it. And he said, well, you know, more or less, what good would it do? So she said, let me lay hands on it and give it a week before you have this horse taken away. She said, do you really want the horse put down? He said, well, not really, no. She said, well, let me lay hands on it, please. He said, okay. So they got the horse in a situation, because they're very shy, very young, excuse me, very young horses. So they eventually got the horse in a position where my wife could lay hands on her. And we did, and we prayed. We joined hands, and we prayed for this horse. Now, I swear, now, I've not been a very religious man, as you know. I've only recently became to the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And hallelujah to that too, brother. Now, you know, Brother Branham spoke a lot of miracles, as you all well know. Amen. Now, I can actually vouch for those miracles personally.
Amen.
Absolutely, personally. This horse today, and I have pictures to prove it. I wish I'd brought it over here, but Brother could have put him on the camera. I have pictures to prove before and after. Now, this horse could not walk on his fore at all. It is totally broken. And today, thanks the Lord, this horse is totally healed. Now, there was a young lad, a boy, maybe 10, 12, 13, I don't know. He wasn't that old. A young lad with the farmer. And he came there, I think it was, what's the day, Sunday? It must have been Friday, I think it was, to take the other two horses away and just leave this horse with us to look after for a while. And this young lad said, do you know what? I cannot believe it. I have never seen anything like this before in all my life. It's a miracle. So we have actually named the horse Miracle. And, you know, Sister Deirdre had faith, and I didn't have the amount of faith Sister Deirdre have, but I certainly have now. And once again, I would like to thank all you brothers and sisters for the prayers you must have sent. It must have been overpowering, and I can vouch for miracles. Thank you very much. Amen. Thank you.
It's wonderful. One miracle can even make the Englishman go hallelujah.
'Cause you have chosen the narrow path, the hardest way. There's a buried portion of heaven waiting for you, because of what you decided. Oh, that was a prophecy.
Was a prophecy.
The angel told to the great messenger.
That is what will produce great victory
in the love divine.
Oh, I will walk this path.
I will walk this path. In the footsteps of Elohim, I wanna get. Against the enemy, by His Holy Spirit,
will lead us
to perfect life.
No, there is not much time remaining.
There is not much time remaining. In the
already hear the chant.
We can hear the chariots
of our beloved one coming to me.
That divine love will live in me.
I'm sure that's your desire, saints. You know, you can take everything else. Take the reputation, take the money, take whatever it is. But if divine love can just live in us, that's the more excellent way. Remember Brother Alan preaching for us, I show you a more excellent way. We can do great things, friends, and we love it to see the Lord do great things. But the thing we really desire is divine love. If we can walk in divine love, the battle's over. Everything is certain. We're going to get to the end of the way. And I'm sure that's your desire today. We just really want to welcome today Brother Howard Searle. Brother Howard is from Gisborne in New Zealand, as we announced last week. It's the first time we met. It's really wonderful to meet him. We really do thank him for passing our way today. He's been in the ministry many, many years. He's a veteran. He's traveled around the world time and time again. He's been to so many places. I'm sure he's probably forgotten all the countries he's been to. But the Lord has used him in many, many ways. You know, I've heard of him many times from Brother Brian Locke, different people like that. So we just want to ask him to have his liberty today. Whatever the Lord would lead him to do, may the Lord's will be done today. And just a reminder, just one announcement for next weekend, Saturday evening service at 6, Sunday morning service with Brother George Martin. So just a reminder, special services next week, Saturday evening, Sunday morning, and then we'll go with Brother George up to Brother Tommy for the evening service. So we just want to hand over to our brother. May he take liberty in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Real blessing to be here with you all. Never been to Ireland before, so this is my first time here, and maybe I'll just hold this, I think. So I just praise the Lord that I'm able to be here with you. As our brother said, I come from New Zealand. You know where New Zealand is? You ask the Americans, they think I live in Europe. But, it's good to be here, and it's really nice going to a new church and, a new people and seeing how they do things. I was just a little confused, though. I wasn't sure which pulpit I was meant to stand behind. That must be for the short preachers. I thought that was so cute. Very nice. And we're just so glad to be with you folks. And we've had a really nice time up with the saints up in Belfast. Well, it's probably not Belfast. They're out in the country a little bit. But it's a real blessing to be with them. And the Holy Spirit really came and blessed the people. And may he do that for us today. I've been a Christian for a long time, as the brother said, and I was just telling him in coming in the car, you know, we When I was just a teenager, we were listening to Brother Branham's sermons while he was still alive. And my father, Brother Reg Searle, I don't know whether some of you may remember Reg Searle, but he visited this country years ago. And he wrote to Brother Branham, asked some questions, and Brother Branham wrote back to him with his own handwriting on the bottom of the letter and gave all the answers. That was sort of nice. And so we've had a little bit of contact with the Branham family, Brother Billy Paul and those brethren. But the most important thing is to be in contact with Jesus Christ. Because Brother Branham's passed away, and if time goes on, we'll all pass away. But if we have eternal life in us, then we have everything. And it's so important to be filled with His Spirit. And I just thank the Lord. I just feel His presence move in. You know, it's not the preacher, brother and sister. It's not the title of the sermon or how well you can preach. It's whether God is here. And that is everything to me. And I just pray He'll really bless us and help us. Who loves the Lord Jesus? Amen. So I'll just start into the message because I've got to preach tonight. I've got to drive back again, and they've really got the pressure on me at the moment. We've just had a convention in Germany, and so we've been really busy, a bit tired out, but the Lord's my strength, and He is our keeping power. So I wonder if we could just stand to our feet. I'd like to read in the Bible from 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm glad you all speak English and French, I believe. We're going to be with Brother Peter Chandler, and he's got a lot of French people there. And so praise the Lord. Amen. One day we'll speak one language. Hallelujah. That heavenly language. So I hope you can understand my English. I am actually speaking English, by the way. Amen. The Queen's English. amen. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets to Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." And he said, "Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbours, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." Amen. May God bless the reading of His precious word. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we come to Thee with our hearts and heads bowed to Thee. Lord, we need You so much at this hour, Lord. We're living in a terrible time. And Lord, we see the judgments of God pending upon the nation. And Lord, so many don't know You. Lord, a lot of people are going to church, but they don't know You, Lord. I pray that You'll come to us and help us to know You better. Lord, may we leave this place knowing that God has been here. Lord, we just call upon your name right now, Lord, for we are in need of thee. May you bless every brother and every sister here, every child. May they know the presence of God in their life, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, brothers and sisters. You know, you've probably read the scripture many times. And you could say, well, it's just a story. But behind every story, there's a truth. And God allowed it to be written in his holy writ for our admonition. And so I just want to speak about this. And I've entitled this message, Empty Vessels, because it's all about empty vessels, actually. And I pray that the Lord will speak to us. You see, this dear widow woman, she was like, we would say, the bride in need today. And she went to the prophet Elisha, and he gave her the word. And she received the prophet's word as, thus saith the Lord. And she was overjoyed to hear the word. Maybe she heard the tapes, we would say. She really enjoyed listening to the message. But saying she never stopped there. She didn't just listen to the message. She acted upon the word of the Lord. Amen. Through Elisha. She didn't just play the tapes as we would do, or CDs these days. She didn't just talk about it with others. She went into action. And I like that. Putting our faith in action. You see, the Bible says in James 2:17, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. You know, I just think that's so important. You know, brothers and sisters, no use just hearing the precious word of God, and it is a precious word. We've got to put the word of God into action. For God is the God of his word, and he'll always come and confirm his word with signs following. Who believes that? Amen. God will always confirm his word with signs following. Is that right, sister? You put God, you put his word there, and you did what he said, and God came down and healed that horse. But he doesn't just heal horses, he heals people too. Praise the Lord. So, it's very important. This lady, she went to work, and she put it into action. So the word we receive must produce something. Oh, I just don't want to have a dead-eyed dick religion. You know, I don't want to just believing a whole lot of things. Oh, Brother Branham said this, Brother Branham said that. And, you know, we all come together and said amen. And, you know, we sit there like a bunch of tombstones. I believe that God is real. I believe that God is the God of his word. And he's here this morning to prove that. Who believes that? You see, you get what you expect if you come to church to sit down and say, oh, you know, it's just nice to be here and we're going to hear this guy from New Zealand. Forget it. We've come to hear from Christ. We've come to hear from his word, and he's the God of his word, as we will see. So the grace of God to us to meet the need of this hour. You know, people say, oh, I'm not the need of the hour. So, you know, the need of the hour is the message of the hour. And I believe that too. But it's more than that. It's meeting the need of this hour now. Like the need of the horse. There's a horse with a broken leg. You know, brother and sister, God needs to come and help us. There may be people here really sick. There may be people here confused. There may be people that really need a supernatural touch from God. Well, I believe that the God of William Branham, the God of Elisha, is the same God here this morning. So those that are hungry are like this widow woman. She was really hungry, really desperate. Things were serious. And she made good use of her opportunity. You know, we just preached down there, redeeming the time, because, was it up there? I'm not sure where I've come. But anyway, up with Brother, what's his name again? Tommy. Oh my, I don't know why I struggle with that. I've got a boy called Tommy. But anyway, up with Tommy, you know, we spoke about redeeming the time, because, you know, because the days are evil, we've got to make good use of the opportunity God gives us this morning. For you may not be here tomorrow. You say, oh, yes, I will. I'm sorry, you don't have that information. Whether you be young or old, you don't know how long you've got on planet Earth. We've got to redeem the opportunity God is giving us. And so we see she made good use of the opportunity God had given her. She followed the instructions of the Word of God, word by word. She just carried out what he said to do. And this woman, while we can say she's like the church, she had a burden to seek out empty vessels. And I believe God is looking for empty vessels today. He's looking for empty vessels. And it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to do that, to seek out empty vessels. Not half-filled ones, empty ones. You see, brother and sister, God requires an empty vessel, not a half-filled one. Half-filled ones, no good. Even quarter-filled, no good. He wants empty vessels. People who have emptied out of all the world out of them. You know, message believers carry the world in them sometimes. It's no good. Holy Spirit doesn't want that. He wants total empty vessels, totally consecrated vessels that he can move through. Cleaned out of all the worldly attractions that never satisfy. And not only the world, but the cares of daily living. You know, we see people get so burdened down with living. It's just the age we're in. Laodicean age. It's just vexed the souls of people. They are constantly vexed. The cares of daily living. We're always worrying and caring about things we shouldn't be worrying about. You know, the Bible says there in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. That word careful means be anxious for nothing. And you don't realize how anxiety gets a hold of people. Always worrying about things. Worrying about how we're going to meet our bills. Worrying about what we're going to do next week. How's this going to work out? Cast your burden upon the Lord. Cast all your care upon him. And he careth for you. It's an interesting thing, brother and sister. When you cast your burden upon the Lord, I just like to be a bit freer. But you know, when you cast your burden, you ever thought about why the scripture says cast? We don't talk like that in English. We give our burden. Why would he say cast? I'll tell you why. Because you know, when you cast your burden on the Lord, you say, Lord, I got a problem. My family, my daughter, whatever it is, I need healing. Oh Lord, I need this. I'm gonna give it to you. So Lord, I give it to you. We give it to him in the prayer meeting. And then after the prayer meeting, we bring it back. Say, oh, I need to worry more about this. Oh God, help me. I need, you know. He said, cast. When you cast a ball, there's no recall. You can't bring it back and worry about it. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. Oh, it's wonderful to trust the Lord and to cast all our care upon him. So that's what she did. She wanted to do that. And it says here, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. If we just do that, life would be so different. How often we are filled with disappointments and disillusionments. Many a brother, sister has become weary and undone. But the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 13. But be brethren not weary in well doing. We don't want to become wearied and burdened down. In this age it's so easy to become burdened down. Oh my, we have to be so careful. We're not meant to be filled with cares. You're not designed to be filled with cares. Did you know that? You're not designed to be alone. You're designed to walk with God. You can't walk without God. You're just a miserable creature without God. And brother and sister, I'm not just talking coming to church. You need God in your life. Mother, you need God. Father, you need God. Children, you need God. You need to walk with God. So God has ordained us that we should be filled with something. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, and I don't apologize for quoting the scriptures. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? So, brother and sister, we're meant to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you've got a whole lot of problems, everything's going wrong, nothing's working out for you, it's a good possibility that you're not filled with the Spirit of God. You know, everything's going wrong. You never seem to get the victory. You never seem to get overcome this. You're always running into these troubles. Now, we do still have troubles. But, brother and sister, when we have troubles, we have a burden bearer. And we give it over to our Lord. As we said, we cast our care upon Him. So we see it's very important. The Holy Spirit is going through the earth, even this morning, looking for empty vessels. And that's the needed ministry of the bride today, to seek out these empty vessels. Seeking as many as we can, not a few. You know, brothers and sisters, we've had a wonderful move of God in our church back in New Zealand. In the last 2 months, we've had about 20 people come to church. It's been nothing to do with me. It's just that God is causing people to come to Him. Sometimes young men who have been under drugs and really all messed up, suddenly there comes a conviction on their heart to get right with God. And they start seeking for God, and they come to church, and God has been blessing them. Then their family members start coming, and you know, we've got about 7 baptisms waiting for us when we get back home. Now, brother, sister, I should be there, actually, to be honest. But I didn't know that this was all going to happen. But when God moves, He moves. And it won't be just in New Zealand. I believe God's going to move here too. And He's going to bring people into your midst. And you've got to be ready to receive them. For God's going to do a quick work before He comes. We are right at the coming of the Lord. We are right close to His coming. And we need to be ready. So God is looking for hearts who have emptied themselves of everything, including all our denominational creeds, our dogmas. We're going to empty ourselves of men's teachings. That's right, brother, isn't it? Things that bind you down. We don't want to be bound. We want to be free in our Lord. The sweetness of His Spirit in our hearts, ready to receive the Word. Now, it's very clear from this reading that we read this today that there's no mixing allowed. It's just not allowed. You know, we have that saying, you probably have it here too, water and oil don't mix. And neither can the Holy Spirit mix with the world. Neither can it mix with man's creeds. There's only one thing God can mix with, and that's His precious Word. He'll only mix with His Word. He won't mix with my opinion or yours. He'll only mix with the Word of God. Now, if there's a little bit of water, as I said before, that was in the vessel, it had to be emptied out. Maybe this woman, she went around and she said, she knocked on the door and she said, oh, do you have an empty vessel? Oh, yes, we have one, but it's full of wheat. No, she said, it must be empty. Sorry, I can't. She'd go to the next house, she'd knock on the door. And she'd say, do you have a vessel? Oh, I do, but we've just got some fresh water in there at the moment. It's only a quarter full. She said, oh, I'm sorry. The prophet said it had to be emptied. And no matter where she went, she had to get empty vessels. Because that's the Word of the Lord. And that's the Word of God this morning. God is seeking empty vessels. You can't mix it. You can't mix other things that are in there. And God will not tolerate mixing this wonderful experience with other things. He just will not tolerate it. You know, brother and sister, God is no respecter of persons. And you know, sometimes He blesses us and we go on with God. But the minute we go mixing, the minute you start mixing with other things, then God's not interested. He just leaves you cold. He'll just wait until you sort yourself out. Now, the Bible says in Luke chapter 16, verse 13, no servant can serve two masters. It won't work. You cannot serve the world and God. I don't care how mild it is. You say, oh, it's not very much, Brother Howard. It's just a little bit. It's only a quarter of my life. Won't mix. It will not mix. He will not mix with any of those things. So we see they had to get empty vessels. And neither will, he says, no servant can serve two masters, for either you'll hate one and love the other, or else he'll hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So God required a complete separation. God's word calls for a total separation from all unbelief. Some feel being filled with religion is okay. Do you know, brother and sister, God, to him it's all the same thing. God doesn't want us to be filled with religion. There's a lot of people filled with religion, but he doesn't want that. We can be filled with this and filled with that. We fill with our own ideas. He wants us to be totally surrendered to him and be filled with his spirit. I really believe that. Some people, you know, some people hide like this. They believe that as long as I say I'm a message believer, that I'm going to be there. Well, that's nice, but it's not according to the scriptures. Brother and sister, you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit of the living God to be his bride. Nothing else will suffice. You say, well, what does the message do? The message shows you how to get it. The message is an instruction book on how to be filled with the Spirit. But the Spirit of the living God is the very life of Jesus Christ living in you. It's the quickening power. It's the thing that's going to change this mortal body. It's the thing that gives you hope and joy. Hallelujah. You know, I've been around a lot. I've seen a lot of things, brethren. Take my word for it. You don't even know who I am. But listen, I've been to a lot of places. Seen a lot of things come and go. And people major on, oh, just receive the word and just keep eating the word until you become the word. Hold on, just 1 minute here. Are you telling me that I can go into a stable, just keep eating the straw until I become a horse? Now that's what people are saying. Jesus said you must be born again. You must be a new creature in Christ. Then you'll eat the straw. But not the other way around. You see, you've got to feed. You've got to be made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Then you feed upon the word of God. But just feeding on the word. People say, well, brother, I believe the word. Well, I know what. So did the devils believe it. And tremble. It's more than just saying, I believe. We've got to receive the quickening power. We've got to receive the seal of God. God's vindication that he has received your faith in the word of God. God's going to speak back to you. It's very sad that people have gone down that route. Now we see it everywhere. When Jesus Christ comes, I'm sorry I'm digressing a bit, but I feel led to. When Jesus Christ comes, he's not coming to see if you have an eagle. You've got a little eagle, but you've got the cross there, brother. That's the best thing. You know what I'm saying? People just trust me. I know what I'm talking about. People hold on to icons. You've got to hold on to Christ. He's everything. You've got to be filled with the Spirit of the living God. It'll bring you to the Word of God. And it's true because God feeds on his own Word. But brother and sister, we need to be born again. We've got to be made new creatures in Christ Jesus. It's really hard preaching once because there's so much I could tell you. Maybe we'll come back one day if the Lord will be willing. But I want to tell you something. God is real. If we come according to his word, he'll bless us. So God requires a total separation. We don't want to have any hybrid. Hybrid religions are a terrible thing. And it's rife in this message, I'm telling you. Listen, brother and sister, just take it from me. People say, oh, as long as you got the message, you'll be there. Listen, everyone says, I'm in the message, I'm in the message. I say, which one? Which one are you talking about? I know about 20. And they all say, we've got it. We're in the message. And they won't even talk to each other. I don't want that religion. On the sweetness of our Lord, graciousness. You may not agree with a brother, but you love him anyway. So I want the real thing. And brother and sister, you seek after it, all of you. Seek after God. Seek after his spirit. Seek after the very life, the oil that's got to come into the vessel. We have all these things. People say, well, I've repented, I've been baptized. That's wonderful, but that's not all. The threefold experience. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is the complete birth. You imagine a baby being born. You see a little baby being born of its mother, and it comes out, and it's looking really nice. The doctor checks it over. It's got two ears, two eyes. It's got two hands, two legs, and it's checking how they check them out, and it's perfect. But if it doesn't have the spirit of life coming to it, it's stillborn. And you know, brothers and sisters, you can be in this message and be a perfect message believer and be stillborn because the life hasn't come in yet. We've got to be filled with the Spirit. The life of Jesus Christ is going to come and live in you, not around you. You can be in a meeting, and you can feel the Spirit of God in a meeting and still not have him in you. You can be anointed of the Holy Ghost and still not have him in you. Many people in the Bible were anointed. Caiaphas was, but he didn't have the Holy Ghost. He says it's expedient that one man die for the nation. And he's prophesied under the Spirit of God and crucified the Lord of glory. These things are real. Brother Branham preaches this. We need to know these things. So we can have all these things. As it says in 1 Corinthians 3:2, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, not some of them, all of them. All mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have faith so that I can remove mountains, and I have not charity, which is love, I am nothing. And God is love, and his Spirit is love. And when he's in you, you love. I want to read you a few things Brother Branham said, which are really wonderful. He said, don't rest day or night. Don't take no chance. It won't work, children. It won't work. You must have the token. That's the oil we're speaking of. You say, I believe. Yes, I believe the message. He said, that's all right. That's good. But you must have the token. You hear me, Brother Branham Tabernacle? You must have the token displayed. Without it, all your believing is in vain. See, you live a good life. You listen to what the Word says. You go to church. You try to live right. That's fine. But that's not it. Come to church every day, every week. Pay your tithes. That's good, but that's not it. That is not what we're talking about. You can do all those things and still not be a part of it. He says, don't just come this far and say, I believe the message. You obey the message. You come into Christ. You say, I believe every word you said, Brother Branham. He said, that's good. But that's just being able to read. Take the message. Take it into your heart that you must have the token. The very life that was in Christ to be in you. When I see that, I will pass over you. Amen. So this is not just teaching. This is a supernatural experience we're speaking of. The vessels were filled with oil. It was a definite experience. He says here, some of you, you cannot receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost without having an experience when it happens. Now, if you believe every speck of the word, you say, I believe every speck of it, then the word is laying in there waiting for the Holy Spirit to put it to work, but it takes the lighting of the candle. Until the Holy Spirit, with a fiery experience, comes down and lights that candle, then you haven't received the Holy Ghost. See, you've just got to have the experience to have the Holy Ghost. Listen, brother and sister, I was 13 when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I am a witness. You cannot walk into the presence of God and not know it. It's not possible. Change my life. Turn me upside down. It's kept me all these years. Without the Holy Spirit, you're shifting sands. You're here today, gone tomorrow. Somebody talks you into something, another man comes along and talks you out of it. But when God writes it on the fleshy tablets of your heart, amen, it's embedded there for eternity. Amen. So we must come as we are, transparent before the Lord. You know, brother and sister, the best thing to be, you know, I hate playing church. I love the Spirit of God moving in the meeting. Oh, the Spirit of God came down. We had the gifts of the Holy Spirit speaking out just wonderfully and encouraging the people to receive the Word of God. You know, brother and sister, I want all that God has for us. I want every gift. I want every ministry. I want the whole thing. Who wants the whole thing? We don't want to say, oh, we just have this little portion here. No, I want all of Him. And Brother Anna says, see, what God wants, God has got to have empty vessels. Listen, he says, we've had too much doctrine. Amen. Amen. Just about makes your head spin. Too much doctrine. Now, I'm not talking about good doctrine. I'm talking about all sorts of doctrines. One man preaches this, another man comes along and says the opposite. But some people say, amen for this one, say amen for that one. They amen everything. But brothers and sisters, we want true gospel, the gospel doctrine, because it's wholesome. He says, we've had too much doctrine, so much ecclesiastical nonsense, until we're down at the end of the barrel. There's only one thing left. Turn to God and His Word. If you'll do that, get some empty vessels, take all the Methodists out of them, all the Pentecostal out of them, all the Baptists out of them. Can we say all the message out of them? The wrong message. And let them be vessels. Set them up in the house and then take from this vessel and begin to pour. Amen. Just begin to pour. At Pentecost, what did they do? He said it had taken them 10 days to get all emptied up. But they was all standing there with their vessels turned up, and God took Himself and filled them up. That's all. He shook the world. He shook the world, poured Himself into them. That's the need today. That's what we need today, is empty vessels. Yes, sir. God cannot use them as long as they're already filled up. You've got full of theological training. God can't use you. God's got to have empty vessels so He can fill them. Get empty, friends. Get weak. Deny your own ability. You hear these tapes wherever they come. Empty yourselves out. Pour yourselves out. God's altar as a sacrifice. Let the angel come with a coal of fire. Fill that vessel with the power of Almighty God, and then He'll make you strong and He'll give you grace to stand. Let me tell you a secret. Listen good. I don't care who you are and how sincere you feel you are. Young people, all of us, without the Holy Spirit, you will not stand in this hour. You might get away with it now, but I tell you what, the pressure's coming on big time. You'll never stand without the Holy Ghost in you. Is that right, brother? You believe that, don't you? We've got to have it. We're kept by the power of God. It's not going to be kept by theology. We're going to be kept by the power of Almighty God. We're living in a serious hour. God knows how serious it is. It's more serious than you and I understand. The warning's coming out across the church to make sure your vessel's full. Because you're going to need them big time soon. So we go back to our story. The woman, she shuts the door. This is not an outward show. This is a sacred thing between you and God alone. The world outside, they don't understand. We must shut the world out before the filling can take place. You know, when Jesus came to the 12-year-old girl that was dying, well, she actually died. They all came and they're all crying and everything. He says, she's not dead, she sleepeth. And the Bible says they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. What did he do? He put them all out and shut the door. And then he rose her from the dead. Brother and sister, this is a sacred thing that I'm speaking of. I'm not speaking of something just, oh, this is just a nice thought. This is life eternal. Hallelujah. We all must have this. Yes. It's not an option. Jesus said, you must be born again. And so we see, when the world was all shut out, a filling took place. They were all empty vessels. She got empty vessels. She didn't. He said, make sure you get empty vessels. She got them. She put them in the house. She put them out on the floor. And her boys were helping her. She got the cruse of oil and she started to pour. It just kept on pouring and just filling up these vessels. Maybe they're that big. They're quite big. This was a miracle. And God was filling the vessels up. Then she went to the next one. Then she went to the next one. Went to the next one. And then when she'd filled all that, she said to the boys, bring me another vessel. And they bought more vessels. She started filling up. The oil just kept on pouring. Isn't that wonderful? That's the Holy Ghost. So there's lots of empty vessels and God's filling them. You know, brother, sister, if God can find an empty vessel here this morning, He will fill it. So she was getting all excited. She was just having a wonderful time. Oh, she was just really blessed to see what God was doing. You know, we don't want to delay God. If He wants to fill us, let Him fill us. The story goes, she was having a wonderful filling. My, the sister was in revival mode. She was just moving around. She said, bring me another vessel. And she's just getting so excited. It's just so wonderful. She said, come on, boy, bring me another vessel. And the voice came back and said, there are no more empty vessels. And the Bible says the oil stayed. I said, well, maybe God ran out of oil. No. He ran out of empty vessels. If He can't find an empty vessel, the oil stayed. And you know what else? It never ran again. So if we come down to ourselves, Holy Spirit patiently, longing, seeking, scanning the congregation, looking for an empty vessel. Looking for a heart that's sincere. Says, Lord, whatever it takes to be more like You, that's what I'm willing to be. Amen. Lord, I have to get rid of this. I'm going to have to get rid of it. I want to empty out, Lord. And God finds an empty vessel. He'll give you such an infilling of the Holy Spirit to make you a new creature, a new person. You'll never be the same again. You'll be more than a message believer. You'll be a son of God and a daughter of God. See, God's not coming for churches. He's not coming for message believers. He's coming for sons and daughters. Those who've been filled with the Spirit. That's what he recognizes. So we see it stopped. There was just simply no more empty vessels left. God had plenty of oil, but he had no empty vessels. God's got plenty of oil this morning, but he's looking for empty vessels. He'll find one, he'll fill it. The oil was shut off. You know, brother and sister, let me warn you. Listen carefully. The hour is coming when the oil will be shut off for us Gentiles. Even while we're here. Now, Brother Branham said that. God will turn to the Jews. People come to the altar trying to get saved, thinking they're getting saved. But it's, the oil is shut off because the door had been opened. He pleaded with you. He cried with you. Every time he sends a minister, you know what you should be doing. But you see, when we harden our attitude towards the Lord. It's a terrible thing. Don't ever harden, brother and sister. The Bible says they to fall upon that rock, that's Christ, shall be broken. But if that rock falls on you, you'll be crushed to powder. Don't get in that position. Don't even go there. Say, Lord, I want to be broken before you. I want to surrender all to thee. I want to say to you, the time is running out for us, Gentiles. And Brother Branham said this, 1964. Now notice, the woman that represents the future denominational church called Bride. And here she represented the church of this day because someday, now we take Presbyterians, Lutherans, and all of them coming around, these businessmen and so forth. We'd like to have, we want the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We'd like to get it. And do not realize the day that it could be in. See, it could be that they will never get it. You know, Jesus said, when the sleeping virgin, now remember the sleeping virgin came to call for oil. It was all sealed out. She didn't get it. She never got it. They didn't know, but the door was closed. And it could be, friends, that door could close at any time. Just as that woman, when she's filling those vessels, she thought it'd be an ongoing, but there wasn't an ongoing. Because there's no more empty vessels, the oil stayed, and it never started again. They could have gone out, run out and trying to find empty vessels, brought them in, but there's no more oil. And the hour is here, brother and sister. And I say this with a sobering heart to you tonight, today. The time is just about over for us all. We see the absolute disgraceful condition of message believers, churches. See, I'm one of these preachers to tell the truth. And I've been around and I know what I'm talking about. I'm not just painting a picture. I'm going to have to answer on the day of judgment. We're in a big mess. We've got to get to God. And you've got to have a personal experience with God or you're not going to be a part of that bride. Don't hide behind the message. Don't do that. If you listen to the message, it'll tell you what to do. Amen. Repent and get right with him and get empty out of all the world and all the junk that slipped into your life. Amen. You know, in my day, we kicked out the televisions. Oh boy, don't do that, brother. Is it okay? Yeah. Come on. Yeah. My day, they kicked out all the televisions. Yeah. When Brother Brandon left, they all slipped them back in again. Some say, I don't have a TV. No, you got DVDs, though. Some say, I don't have DVD. What about the internet? Yeah. All the time you spend on the internet, the things you're watching, brother. Yeah. Holy Spirit sees that. See, he wants empty vessels. God calls for an empty vessel. And we're in this hour. I wonder if there's any empty vessels here tonight. was received this morning, afternoon. If there's any empty vessels that God would fill this morning, this afternoon. Brother and sister, this is such a serious moment, I cannot even express it. How we need the Lord.
Hallelujah.
May His grace shine upon us.
Yes.
To give us the blessed opportunity to empty out. People say, oh, I can, I've heard people say, oh, I can get right with God. You know, when I get married, I'll fix it all up. When I get my new job and everything, so when I got time, I'll get right with God. If I need to get right with God, I'll just come down to the convention or something. I'll go to the youth camp. I'll get right with God. I want to say this. You can never come to God unless He calls you.
Amen.
Jesus said, no man cometh unto me except my Father draw him.
Amen.
You see, we've got to move when God moves. And the Bible says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Isaiah 55. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Why does God say? Why does He say, seek ye the Lord while He may be found? I'll tell you why. Because there's a time when you cannot find Him.
Hallelujah.
You can only come to God when He draws you by His Spirit.
Yes.
And brother and sister, if I have a whiff of the Spirit, I want Him right then. Because He's passing by. Maybe He's passing by someone to see this afternoon. You feel His Spirit moving upon you. Don't just say, oh, that's a nice feeling. No, it's not for a nice feeling. It's to help you.
Yeah.
To get right with God and be filled with the Spirit of the living God. Don't turn Him aside. Don't be like Esau, who despised the birthright. Why? He was born into a family. He was born into a patriarch father. He had everything going for him. The spiritual birthright was for him. But he despised it. He made light of it. So, oh, one day I'll get it all. But anyway, he said, oh, brother, you take it. I'll pick it up some other time. And then when the revelation came that he had turned down the Lord, even though he was in a spiritual family, he had turned it down. The Bible says he sought it with tears of repentance. He came to Yod and he sought after God and he found no repentance at all.
Amen.
The door had closed.
Amen.
The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect?
Amen.
Not reject, neglect.
Yes.
Oh, you come to church, sure. But if you neglect so great a salvation, how shall we escape? Brother and sister, I'm closing. I'm not a long-winded preacher. I pray that God will speak to all our hearts today.
Amen.
If you know that you need that infilling of the Spirit, and you've emptied out, and God is willing to fill you, you will receive it. Isn't it wonderful to think that the Holy Spirit come and live in you? Brother and sister, take it from somebody who has received it. It's the most glorious thing in this world. You can give me $1 billion, you can keep it. Just give me His Spirit. It's everything. And if God has spoken to your heart, why don't you say, Lord, I'm emptying out right now. Somebody says to me, how long does it take? I say about 3 seconds.
Amen.
Just say, Lord, I'm going to empty out.
Hallelujah.
You say, but I don't live in a Christian, I'm not living a very good life. Don't worry about that. Just empty out. He'll take care of that.
Amen.
You say, I can't be a good Christian. Don't worry about it. He'll fix you. You just surrender. You take one. If you draw nigh unto God, He'll draw nigh unto you.
Amen.
You take one step towards Him and see if the supernatural doesn't come into your life.
Amen.
See, we're not playing church. I've seen many people filled with the Spirit. Brother and sister, I want to encourage you today as we close that you'll consider these things, that you want to be an empty vessel. You know what? No one can make that choice for you. If I could make that choice, why, I'd be right down there now to do it for you, but I cannot. There's only one person I can make a choice for is me. I can't make a choice for my wife or my children. I've got to make it for myself. Husband, you've got to make your own choice. Doesn't matter what your wife does, you've got to make your own choice. And wife, doesn't matter how, you know, how spiritual a husband is, that's not going to put you in heaven. I remember one of the islands, I was telling the brothers, we were over in the islands, was in a hotel, and over there everyone's a Christian. Really? They really believe it. They all go to church on Sunday, their white shirts and black and white, and all go to church, and they all look really spiritual, all go walking down to church, to the Methodist church. And they all live for the Lord on Sunday and live for the devil on Monday. And they actually believe. And I was talking to this receptionist in the hotel. I said, "Are you a Christian?" "Oh, yes," she said. I said, "And you believe you're going to heaven?" "Oh, yes." I said, "Why? How do you know that?" She said, "Because my father's a minister." Now, that was the most saddest thing I'd ever heard. I said, "Sister, you've got to have your own experience with God. It doesn't matter whether you come to this church or not. It doesn't matter whether you confess Brother Brandon's a prophet. Listen, the devil knows he's a prophet. Have you received the oil into your vessel?"
Amen.
And if you haven't, maybe there's something filled up there. You know, a lot of people, they want the Lord to come into their heart. "Oh, Lord, come into my heart, Lord Jesus." And they open the door and they welcome him into their heart. "Lord, it's yours." We look inside the heart. He said, they meet him in the foyer. He comes through the front door into the foyer. He says, "Now, Lord, it's all yours. It's all yours, Lord. Lord, just one little thing. This door here. You'll notice it's got private on there. I prefer if you just, you know, didn't go in that one. Won't work. It's not an empty vessel. He wants all of you. He wants all of you. It's now your decision. Shall we stand? Every head bowed. Oh, Jesus, we come to thee. Lord, I don't know these people, but you know everything about them. Lord, I have spoken my heart. Try to be honest as I know how to be honest, Lord. You know it. Your spirit is in this meeting, Lord. Scanning the congregation. Looking for an empty vessel. Oh, Spirit of the living God. Move afresh upon us, Lord. There's hearts here, Lord. They know they have been holding back. They're putting that private sign up on their heart's door. I pray they'll rip it down, say, "Lord, everything is yours. I surrender all to thee. Lord, I empty out of everything of self. I've emptied out of all my arrogancy, all my hardness of heart, Lord. Lord, make me soft and gentle, that you may be willing and longing to indwell my vessel as a temple of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I commit this congregation to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus." Amen. Brother and sister, God has spoken to your heart. This altar is open for you. If you feel God has spoken to you, and you want to come and empty out, it's a good place to do it, right here. You say, "Well, I'll do it tonight or tomorrow." You may not be here. You don't know you'll be here. This may be your last opportunity. And further to that, God may not deal with you again. The Spirit of God will not always strive with men. And God has spoken to your heart. Don't delay. Say, "Lord Jesus, I surrender all to thee. I come to you just as I am. Lord, I just want you to fix me up. I surrender all to you." Brother and sister, if you know God is speaking, this altar is open now. Right now. Spirit of God is in the meeting. is going down your road right now. But you're the only one that can make that choice. Jesus, be merciful, Lord. Brother, why don't we could sing that lovely song, All to Jesus I Surrender, just really reverently, quietly. I know God's speaking to hearts, brethren. Been around long enough to know when God's in a meeting. Don't hold back. I've seen people weep and cry in a meeting and refuse to do anything about it. Don't do that. I surrender all to Him, I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence. What an opportunity. Don't let it go by. I surrender all.
My Lord.
I surrender all. All of your heart. All to Thee, my blessed Savior.
I surrender
all to Jesus. I surrender humbly at His feet. I bow. Forsake it, take me, Jesus, take me now. Mean it with all your heart now. I surrender all. Yes, Lord, we surrender.
I surrender, I give my.
Jesus. Ooh, to Jesus I
Oh,
Jesus, ooh, to Jesus, I surrender, oh, to Him I give, I will give a love and trust.
Bye.
Brother and sister, I just want to say this. Appreciate all those that come out here. God has been here, but there's some out there too. You take it home today with you. God knows your heart. You can't hide from God. I know what's going on out there. So, Lord, I want to go all the way with you. I really Amen. Mean this, Lord. And not just in meeting now, but it's tomorrow, the next day.
Amen.
Get into prayer. Spend time with God every day, waiting on God until you're so filled with His Spirit. God bless you. It's been a great honor and privilege to be here. And Lord willing, we'll see you again. If we don't see you here, we'll see you at that wedding supper. God bless you. Thank you, my brother. Amen.
Sense. I just love the way the Lord does these things. You know, just a few days ago, last week, we didn't even know that Brother Howard was going to be coming. But friends, that was a real word in season. I'm sure every person here knows, you know, it was such a wonderful blessing for me. It was a confirmation in so many things. It was such a wonderful word
Amen.
In season.
Hallelujah.
You know, friends, we can fill ourselves up with so many things in this age.
Amen.
We're always preaching about Facebook and Twitter and all of these things. And people fill themselves up with nonsense. And then they wonder why there's no blessing. They wonder, where's the power I used to have in the days of my youth? Where's my first love? This answer is so simple, friend. Just empty yourself out once again. He's more than willing. And He's more than able to fill you more than you
Amen.
Can expect. Because He'll do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask and think. But all He wants is empty vessels. And friends, let's not leave it here. Because I know that there's people that are here that really need an experience with Christ. There's people that really need something. It'll take them from being up and down and up and down to bring them to a consistency, to bring them to the place they can walk with Christ. And just before we close, I'd just like us all just to come to a time of prayer. And if you haven't responded to the Spirit of God, to come to the altar, it's not too late now. So as we'd all come, let's sing one more song, Brother George, if you don't mind. And let's all just come, commit ourselves to the Lord, to the people that are new, that don't really know Christ. Why don't you ask Him at this time to reveal Himself to you, to say, Jesus, I want to know that You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever your need would be, let's come before the Lord. Let's commit ourselves. Make an altar at your chair, whatever you need to do. And let's commit ourselves before we leave this place and take advantage of the goodness and the long-suffering and the patience of God while it's still available to us.
Touch your people once again, oh, with your precious holy hand, that now may your kingdom shine upon the earth through a living glorious church, not for temporary needs, oh, but to restore authority and power. May your mighty rushing wind blow in, oh, touch your people once again.
Let's all come to pray. Father, how would you thank You upon this day that You've given unto us an opportunity once again to come unto Thee upon this afternoon. Thank You, Father, that Your grace Amen. Friends, I just want to say one thing before we close in a word of prayer. You know, Brother Howard, I know that he went to Brother Brian Locke a couple of years back because Brother Brian wanted him to come and take some meetings down the line of the Holy Ghost. You know, and I always loved that. And I love those kind of things. And then when Brother Tom said, "Brother, would you like one of the brothers who's coming to come and minister to you?" And I said, "That's fine, bro." And he says, "Well, Brother Howard, we'll ask him to come." I said, "That'll be wonderful." And inside of my heart, I said, "If only we could." I was going to speak to him about it and say, "Brother, would you mind ministering down that line? Because I know that there's people that are seeking." And then I thought to myself, no, let me just keep quiet about it and just put it into the hands of the Lord. And let's just let the Lord have his way. And when the brother started to minister, I just saw that it was the Lord. I just saw the Lord is taking things down the way that things should go. And I love it when it's like that. Friends, we don't want human program here. We don't want human instrumentality. We don't want Nicolaitanism where man rules over man. We want him to have his way. He may work in simplicity. He may work in softness. He may work in different vessels, different temperaments, but we just want him to have his way. So I just really want to thank the Lord today for his goodness.
Amen.
For his faithfulness, that he hears and answers prayer. Friends, I think, amen.
Amen.
And also we really do appreciate our brother that was just moved by the Spirit to go the way that the Lord knew that we needed things to go today. And I would really say to him, Brother Howard, please, anytime, brother, we'd be so glad to have you back. You know, I'm sure every person would desire the
Amen.
Same for the Lord to come and minister a blessing to us once again. And if the Lord's worked in your life today, continue to respond. The prophet says all the bride has to do is respond. Just keep responding, just keep yielding, and he'll keep taking you on and on and on to things that you had never dreamed about. That's the secret at all. Just empty yourself out. Let's sing one chorus, if you don't mind. Just something soft, something humble, and let's close in a word of prayer. Let's pray for Brother Howard. He's preaching for Brother Tom this evening. 6 o'clock, Scarva. Anybody that's free, we'd be happy to see you there in the evening. And let's pray for the Lord's blessing on that meeting as well.
You Alpha and Omega, we worship you. You are worthy to be praised. Oh, you are Alpha. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, O Lord. Oh, you are worthy to be praised. We give you glory. Like you, worthy, worthy Lord, we give you all the glory. We worship you, O Lord. You are worthy to be. Oh, you are Alpha. You are Alpha. Oh, you are Alpha, you are.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are so faithful. Father, we thank you that you know the end from the beginning. Father, thank you that you still discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. And all that we desire to do upon this afternoon is just lay ourselves on the altar once again. Even as the song says, touch your people once again. Father, each and every person, Lord, thank you for the touch that you've given. Father, you know the things that we need for service. We know the things that we need to finish this course. We know the things that we need, Father, to be effective. That, Father, your will may be done inside of us. And Lord, we just come emptying out all that is unnecessary and all that is foolish, desiring to redeem the time for the days of evil. Father, just to wait upon the Lord. And Father, thank you for your goodness. That, Father, you will renew our strength. Father, thank you for the promises of your word. Thank you for the faithfulness of ministry upon this day. And Father, we just say amen to the word amen. That has been preached. Father, that is what we believe. Father, that is what we stand for. And Father, we pray your blessing upon the vessel that you've used, that you'll renew his strength this afternoon. Father, that you'll give him a supernatural unction.
Amen.
As it goes to stand before your people in Scarborough upon this evening, Lord. That Father, you would move him, that your hand would be upon him, that your blessing would be his portion. Bless his church back home as well at this time. Thank you for the things that you are doing for them. Continue to multiply. Continue to bring in those empty vessels, we pray. And Father, may you fill them with your glory. Father, bless his family as well. I do pray for them. Bless his ministry. Guide his footsteps. Amen. Make his way clear.
Hallelujah.
Father, open the doors that he should go through. Close the doors that, Father, would be against your will. And Father, may you continue, Lord, to fulfill the deepest of your purpose inside of his life. That, Lord, as he had come to the end of the road, you will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Father, bless us as we go from this place and it'll travel. Give traveling mercies unto us, we pray. Father, be with us on the road like them on the way to Emmaus. Speak unto us, I pray. I pray for the new people. I pray that you'll draw them to yourself and bring them in. I pray that you'll put such a hunger in the souls of your people that, Father, we'll never be satisfied with second best. But, Father, that we'll want all that you have for us. Bless your musicians. Thank you for song worship. Thank you for the Sunday school. Bless them as well. Thank you for each office in the post of duty. Be with us now as we depart in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Saints, 6 o'clock, Scarva. If you're free to be there, may the Lord bless you. God be with you.
Touch your people once again. Oh, with your precious holy hand. Shine upon this earth, you are living glorious church, not for temporary needs, but to restore authority. Rushing wind blowing over, touch your people once again. Oh, we need wisdom, we need power to love for each other. We have so many big and empty words. So we come before your face, asking for your grace. Take your people to a better, fruitful life. Restore your church again. Oh, touch your people. Touch your people. Once again, oh, with your precious holy hand. We pray, may your kingdom shine upon the earth. You are living, glorious church, not for temporary needs, oh, but to restore authority. Touch your paper once again.